Welcome to the Best Ever You Show with your host, Elizabeth Hamilton Garino. Elizabeth is the CEO and founder of the Best Ever You Network, a leading multimedia provider of lifestyle content. The Best Ever You Network, helping you live your life to the fullest. It's where you'll find inspirational and encouraging stories, advice, and information with our radio show, printed magazine, websites, community, and more. Real people, real advice, real places, real products and businesses, real life stories, and more, including real celebrity life. Be your best and keep it real. Confident, successful, caring, and beautiful every day with Best Ever You. Now, here's your host, Elizabeth Hamilton Garino.
Good afternoon, everyone. And this is one of those shows where my name means nothing compared to the one that we have on. It's just amazing. I am so happy to have Bergen Williams on with us for, what did we decide, Bergen? 30 minutes, 45 minutes, around there?
Between 30 and 45.
40, yeah. And the reason why we're going to have to cut the show early today, and I'll introduce you, and everybody knows who you are anyway, but tell us why you have to cut the show short today. It's cracking me up.
Well, because at 11:15 my time, I have to go across town and I have an audition for a Steve Carell movie. So I want to be on time for that.
Yeah, you do. Now, are you totally nervous?
You know, I don't get nervous. It's a German-speaking part, and I don't get nervous when I'm doing German. I actually get more nervous because you totally escape into the character. I get more nervous when I'm doing an English-speaking person, actually.
Yeah. So then you have something else, right? Do you have a second?
I know. It's one of those crazy days. I mean, not only did I have to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning to deliver cookies, but then I have this radio show, and then I have an audition at 11:15. Then I have to get to my kitchen I rent by 2 and set up my staff because I have an audition at 3 in Russian. So it's just
Can
one of those things.
Can I hear your Russian accent? Can I hear it?
What is it you'd like me to say in Russian?
Oh, gosh. That's hilarious.
It's a little Transylvanian there.
I don't know how people do that. Now, how do you teach yourself to do that?
Well, I actually got some tapes when I first hit town. When I first came to Hollywood, I weighed 358 pounds, and I looked incredibly German or Russian because of the big weight and I have a huge face. And so I got accent tapes for Russian and just studied them so I could go in off the top and do a Russian accent. Because I found that I'd be doing parts, and like I'd go up for the part of a maid, and they'd say, wow, could you do that in a German accent just out of the blue, or could you do that in a Russian accent? So I got my tool bags packed, and I'm able to do that on the spot.
Isn't that interesting? Now, have you ever had to use the tool bag before? Have you ever had to use Russian before in anything that you've done?
Before today? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've played several Russian women. I've played Russian and German. Uh-huh. I do a lot of German and Russian, I think.
That's cool.
I've been Helga many times.
Many times? All right.
Helga. Yeah.
Helga. All right. Yeah. So I just want everybody to know really that, you know, you're known for a lot of things, but you're known for playing Alice Gunderson, the maid for the Quartermains in ABC's General Hospital. And then this is kind of an old bio I have on you, though. You've made way more appearances on shows than just like NYPD Blue and Drew Carey and Seventh Heaven. What all are you working on?
Well, you know, I just did a Prime Suspect episode that aired, I think it aired yesterday. So it's on demand and it's on Hulu, and I play. It's a really good episode, actually. I think it's basically about a stripper with a heart. But and I play the butch bartender at the strip joint. It's a very small part, but I really enjoyed doing it. It's an awesome show. I can't believe they canceled it. I mean, really. I thought, my God, they have a great female strong lead, and yet it got canceled. And everyone I knew loved it who watched it. So.
Yeah, I didn't know. Yeah. I didn't even know that got canceled.
Yeah,
that tells you my reach. Huh? It's like I didn't.
Yeah, well,
know.
At least they got my episode out there, so I was happy about that.
Well,
but
yeah,
I'm glad for everyone else. Yeah.
That's a good show, though. I'm surprised. To hear that. Huh? Okay. Well, do you mind if we retweet or re-Facebook your episode so our fans can see it? Can we do that?
Oh, that'd be great.
Like with a link or something
great.
Like that. Okay, it's not against the rules or anything. Okay, cool.
No, not at all.
All right. So, tell us. Can you tell us a little bit. I feel like we're short on time. It's funny. We will be by the time we're done.
Yeah.
But it's okay. I'll breathe and we'll be fine.
Okay.
You have a cookie company.
And yes,
I know cookies are near and dear to my heart, especially of the chocolate chip variety. But this is a special cookie company. And do you want to talk about cookies first or the way that you arrived at making these cookies? Which one should we talk about first?
My company is called Eat Me Cookies. It speaks for itself. And I started making cookies because I guess I'll just combine them both because because of the fact that I make specialty cookies. I only make vegan cookies. And by the way, we've branched out to cupcakes. But I only make vegan cookies, and so they're either whole grain spelt or gluten-free. And the reason I started this company, the reason I started making cookies was because in 2002 I was told I had incurable carcinoid cancer, which is a cancer that affects the endocrine system so that it thinks that its job is to grow cancer tumors throughout your digestive tract. And when I first got diagnosed, I weighed 358 pounds. I was incredibly unhealthy. I was very frightened. I did whatever the doctor said. I researched how terrible the disease was. I didn't research anything else. I just did whatever the doctor told me. After a year of doing what the doctor said, they said you're going to have to be on chemo until the day you die. It's a hypodermic kind of chemo. It's not as drastic as the people who are, say, doing have breast cancer and stuff, but still. It affected me 4 days every month. Every 28 days, I had to get these injections. And then they wanted to do another surgery. And at this point, there's a possibility I could get a colostomy bag. Well, that's the magic word for Bergen. No one wants a colostomy bag. And I thought, I can't do this. So I started doing a lot of research. And my wife and I at the time found a book called The China Study, in where it talks about how animal protein feeds cancer. And if you take animal protein out of your diet, that means milk, dairy, anything that comes from animals out of your diet, your cancer will have nothing to consume and it will stop growing. And I thought, well, that's an interesting theory. Why don't I try it? I have nothing to lose, since it looked like I wasn't going to make it anyway. So I went on a completely vegan, no oil diet. And the reason I gave up oil is because oil clogs your liver. And if you're trying to heal, like if you get a cold or the flu or anything, stop eating greasy foods immediately. You will cure yourself way faster. Oil clogs your liver. And the first thing that happens when you eat greasy foods is you got to declog your liver. You don't want to spend all your body energy on that. So just don't eat the grease. So anyway, I learned a vegan, no oil diet. Well, what that did is it eliminated cookies for me because, my nickname growing up was Cookie. I love cookies. And I'm thinking, how can I eat cookies? I went out and I bought some of the already vegan cookies that were out there, and they were all packed with oil, and they were giving me stomach aches. So I decided to try and take my mother's recipe that she made my whole life and turn that into a vegan, no oil cookie, not to have a business, just so I could have some comfort food while I'm going through, trying to battle for my life here. So, and it also distracted me. It was a great distraction. How can I perfect no oil cookies? So I would bring them to General Hospital. At the time, I was on General Hospital a lot. I didn't tell anyone I had cancer because I had told my boss at Power Rangers. I was the head writer of Power Rangers at the time. And I told my boss that I had cancer and was going to need some time off. And within a week, I was fired. So I thought, wow. He made up some other reason, but because of the law, but we all knew why I was fired. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't want to tell General Hospital. I was so worried. This became my only income. So anyway, I would bring cookies into work, and at first people would run when they saw the cookies, especially in hair and makeup. They'd look at the cookies and go, oh, thanks, Bergen. And because they really tasted bad at first, I'll admit it. They were pretty crummy. But after a while, I noticed I'd go to work, and if I didn't bring cookies, people would say, hey, where's those cookies? And I thought, my God, they like the cookies. So then Sarah Brown, who was playing Claudia at the time, for anyone who watches the show, I just love Sarah Brown. She's just such a fantastic actress. She was the original Carly. And then she left, and then she came back as Claudia. Well, she kind of got me in a corner one day and said, you're bringing these cookies in, and I can't have any of them, and that's not fair because I'm celiac. And I said, well, what's that? And she told me what celiac was and how people can't have gluten and how it affects them. And she said, why don't you make a gluten-free cookie? So I did. I came up with one for her. I tried a couple, and she didn't like them, but she finally liked the one I came up with. And at that point, I decided, you know, I should be selling these cookies because people were saying, well, I've never had a gluten-free cookie like this. And I went out and tasted all the ones on the market, and it's true, there was nothing like mine. So I decided to start, you know, start a little cookie business. On the side, I thought, oh, this will help me with my mortgage when times are lean. And I was just, I just got a little farmer's market booth. In fact, I think last time I talked to you, I think I only had the farmer's markets booth. I don't remember if I was in any stores or anything. Well,
you
they just took
just
off.
I
was just starting. Well, I sold my first cookie December 3rd, 2010. So it's been a year now. And a year later, we're in Erewhon, which is a big health food store here in town on Beverly Boulevard. We're on the Santa Monica Co-op, which is huge. We're also in Cafe Gratitude, where they sell our cookies. We're now the fresh-baked cookie maker for M. Chaya Cafes, which is a macrobiotic cafe in, on Melrose and also in Beverly Hills. We just got into another store, which is in the production office called, what are they called, Big Bite. I keep wanting to call them Bite Me, but that's me. I mean, me. But
Bite Me.
Big Bite. Yeah. And we're in Fanciful gift baskets. I mean, we've just got, we're like in 10 stores now since then.
That's
we actually have other people wanting us, and we have to say no right now because I have to figure out how can I coordinate my writing career, my acting career, my cookie career, and also having, you know, having time to sleep. So I'm a little, and call my mom. I know. That's a, you know, I, really, that's the saddest thing of all is that I used to call, I'm a real mama's girl. And you wouldn't know by looking at me because I look like a really hard-ass chick, but I'm just a mama's girl. And I used to talk to my mom every single day at least once. And now I don't think, I talk to her maybe once a month. I've talked to her twice last month because it was Thanksgiving, so she got an extra day there. But that was, I haven't even seen her in a long time. So it's just all I do
is
work.
Better bring her some cookies. Well,
I was hoping to get home for Christmas, and I just decided I'm just not going to be able to do it. Because now that we're doing fresh-baked cookies, you know, that's a, we deliver 7 days a week.
And
I'm still doing I still do the deliveries. I run off, do the deliveries. I go off to my auditions. I'm doing writers' meetings. I'm producing a web series in the spring. And I mean, it's just, it's crazy fun. Yeah.
Do you okay? So tell me about your weight now. I know. Tell me what you did to stay alive. That's the begging question here. What exactly did you do to go from, you know, being sick to talking to us today?
The key for me was giving up meat and dairy products. For one thing, I was an excessive eater. I ate a lot. I was one of those people that, you know, some people when they get upset, they drink or they do drugs or whatever. I eat, and I still do. I still do. I had kind of a rough day yesterday, and boy, did I eat a lot. And but you know, I eat healthier foods. You know, if you pig out on flaxseed crackers and hummus, that's a lot different than eating Cheetos and French fries. So
or like my love of pizza, for example. So how do you, I wanted to ask you this about oil. When you say no oil, there's this book out, and it's called Never Fear Cancer Again. Have you by chance read that?
No, I haven't even heard of it.
I was gonna ask you if maybe you could read that and tell me what you think of it, because we've given it our Blue Ribbon Winner Award on Best Ever You. And so it's called Never Fear Cancer Again, and they, too, say change your oils, don't eat oil. Don't eat a lot of meat, don't eat dairy, and kind of all the things that you're saying. And I wanted to know what you mean, what real life means when you say don't eat oil. What's that mean for people? Do you mean don't even eat olive oil?
I mean don't eat oil out of its natural form. And here's one thing that led me to that. When I thought I was going to die within a year or two, when I thought that's all I had left, my dream when I was a little girl was to be an anthropologist and dig up dinosaur bones and stuff like that. And so I decided to take a class over at Glendale. I thought, you know, I'm not dying without knowing more about anthropology. So I took a class over at Glendale Community College in anthropology and learned so much about our genetic beginning and the way that we evolved that that's actually affected my philosophy of eating now. Because I look at, we evolved for 7 million years eating a particular way. It's only in the last couple thousand, few thousand years that we've been eating oil out of its natural form, that we've been eating other animals' milk. That's what's creepy to me. We're not cows. Why are we eating their milk? Why are we eating lamb's milk, or I mean goat's milk? Why are we eating other animals' milk? No one's eating our milk. You know, it's just not good for us. And so when I looked at that, I thought, wow. And also, it takes 50,000 years. It takes a long time to make an evolutionary change within our bodies. So we're eating in a body that hasn't evolved to accept this kind of food. And so I think back of when they started pressing oil out of olives. We're still within the 50,000 of no evolutionary change in our body, 50,000 years. So, and so I started thinking, we have to eat the way we evolved, and look at survival of the fittest. How many people are dying of cancer and diabetes and heart disease now? Way more than I was a kid. Why? Because these are the people who aren't surviving. If you look at it Darwinianly, I don't know if that's a word, but if you look at it that way, I mean,
your words.
I just make them up. But Darwinianly. But
that's a great word.
But if you look at what's happening around us, I mean, this is just proof of survival of the fittest. People aren't making it. They're not making it because they're eating this fast food Western diet that's killing us off. Because it's just, these aren't the fittest people. The people who are surviving and are going to, and there are these little flukes. There are these people that drink bourbon every day and smoke a cigar and eat, you know, a pound of meat and they live to 99. There are these exceptions, but it's not the rule. And I don't want to take a chance that I'm an exception. Obviously, I'm not. You know, I'm the rule. Yeah. And so I try to eat the way that my body was developed, evolved to eat. And I think we all have to think about that.
Yeah. Do you think you'll ever write a book on this? Do you think you'll ever write a book about it?
I'm working on a cookbook, and within that cookbook, I want to talk about that. You know, it's kind of an essay-styled cookbook where I have a recipe, but each chapter is a story about something, and then a favorite recipe follows it. I've been working on it for a year and a half, and I actually haven't done anything for the last year because I've just done this cookie business. I just take notes every now and then, and I have you know, there's three of us who own the company, Twyla Rowe and Michelle Devine and me, and Michelle is a newer partner, and she's here in LA with me, so she's been taking on a lot more responsibility, and I'm hoping this will enable me to have time to finish the cookbook, because I'd love to be able to finish that book and then go out and talk to people more. I mean, my favorite part of the cookie company, believe it or not, isn't that I make cookies, it's that I get to talk to people about health. I don't believe anyone needs to die of heart disease, cancer, or diabetes. Nobody needs to die of these diseases. We just need to be more health conscious. We need to be in control of our own bodies. Like, this is the only vehicle we're getting. We don't get to trade it in for a new one. This is our vehicle. Let's keep it really nice. So I really, my company gives me the opportunity to do outreach and share this experience with other people. And I know what it's like to be a big fat pig and sit around and hate yourself. And I know what it's like to be afraid of dying. And I'd like to go talk to other people that are going through that.
Yeah. How do you think we can reach people with this show and your message that don't have something super traumatic happen to them to get them to wake up and start doing these things? What do you want to say to people to enable, inspire, and make them do this anyway without, you know, being diagnosed with, without some terrible diagnosis or something horrible happening before they get the picture?
Well, this is what I tell. I talk to a lot of young people, especially guys respond to this, and that's that I say, look at me. I'm 52 years old. I work 19 hours a day sometimes. I never sleep more than 5 hours. I feel good all the time. I work out. I run marathons. I don't look 52. People are shocked when they see how old I am. I run a business. I actually run three businesses when you think about it. I have all this energy, and I feel great all the time. And that's because I changed my diet. I had to get through cancer. I lost, 175 pounds, cured myself of cancer, and I have a genetic liver disease. I was supposed to have a liver transplant by now, but my liver actually regenerated from this diet, and I don't need a liver transplant anymore. So I say to people, look what this diet has done to me, a very, very sick, fat, lazy woman. What if someone who was already healthy went on this diet? My God, you become a superhero. because it took me from like minus 50 and brought me to 100. You're already at zero. So you're going to be way up there. I mean, and you can just be like a god, actually, with this diet. And I've seen it. I mean, the guy who won, was it Mr. Iron Man last year, was a vegan. You know, the vegan, you know, people think, oh, my God, I work out too much. I can't. I have to eat meat every day. You know, it's such a fallacy. I mean, you know, the meat industry, the dairy industry, the agave nectar industry, they all have such great propaganda that they've brainwashed us into thinking that we can't survive without their product.
Go back to the oil for a minute. When you're sitting there and you're in the grocery store and you've got, you know, canola, corn, vegetable, and olive, and maybe some other ones, does that mean you just bypass that section completely and you are a person who never puts any oil in their food at all, like to make a stir fry or something like that vegetables and rice?
No, I never, ever, ever, ever do it. The only time I ever use any kind of oil is when I make buttercream frosting. I'll use Earth Balance butter and some vegan shortening. Well, it's all vegan, but non-hydrogenated shortening. Mm. And I use, like, I don't know, maybe a quarter of what you might have in regular buttercream frosting. So it's the only time ever. And I only, in my house, I don't even know if I have oil in my house. I have spray oil, and the only time I ever use that is when I'm baking bread. I spray the top when I put a towel on it so it doesn't stick. So I actually only use oil as a technology, not
That's
as an ingredient.
Because I wonder how our life would change without that, because we're the pancake house kind of with the four boys. I feel like we're the pancake house all the time,
uh-huh.
And that's probably a terrible thing to be feeding people. But, you know, between the butter and the oil,
well,
you kind of have
now,
me thinking.
Okay. Yeah, now when I do make pancakes, I mean, there's two things. Like, I have a super good, I wish I could remember the name of it, because I'll go look, because I'm at my house. But I have a super good no-stick pan that I use that I can make anything on without any oil. If I'm in a hurry, and I have to use more than one pan because I have several people here for breakfast, then I'll use the little spray, just a tiny bit, because it's not really using any oil. People don't need to put butter on my pancakes, you know. I don't even put out the Earth Balance butter. I only use Earth Balance for frosting. But, you know, the thing is I just make fun toppings. Maple syrup is so delicious. You don't really need butter. And you just think you need butter at first. It's interesting. I do these demos all the time at stores.
You think you do, yeah.
You think you do. Where I'll sample cookies, and some people come up and go, oh, my God, this is the best cookie ever. And other people will eat them and say, this is flavorless. And those are the people that I wish I could take aside and go, if you can't taste the flavor in here, your taste buds are clogged up and you're not well. You know,
yeah.
I mean, it's not just because they're my cookies. It's because anybody's cookies. If you can't taste the flavor, these people are addicted to oil. And if oil doesn't stimulate their taste bud, like, you know, like it's acid or something or hallucinogenic, then they just can't taste food. And those are the people I really want to get to, you know, because they're the unhealthy people.
Yeah, we're going to have to do more with this on Best Ever You, because I can totally, your vision is clear. It's very interesting, all the things that you're going to be doing over the next 5-10 years of your life and plus. You know what I mean with this? This is just going to take off.
Well, this is what I want to do. I just feel like I just want to go out and talk to people. I mean, there's so many people who are just like me, and not even as bad as I was. Because not only was I big and fat and lazy, but I was grumpy, and I blamed everyone else for my problems, And, you know, I still have a knee-jerk reaction of the blame game, but I pull it back, you know, and I tell people, let me know if I'm doing this, you know. Because that's the other thing is I learned through this whole vegan diet, just on a personal growth level, is that there's nothing about us we can't change. You know, you run into someone, you go, well, I just get grumpy when I see this. It's like, well, yes, you can decide that's your fate, or you can change that. So let's see, what is triggering this? Let's change the trigger. Let's make the trigger go somewhere else. I'm just at the point that I don't know. I don't even care if you're 85 years old. There's nothing about you you can't change. It's just whether or not inside you really want to make the change, or you just want to be a curmudgeon. What do you want?
I love that. It's one of my favorite words, curmudgeon.
Yeah, I know. It sounds just like it is, curmudgeon. But, you know, you have to make that decision. Do I want to add to the universe, or do I want to take away? Well, I made the decision after the cancer thing, like, I want to add to the universe. That's what I want to do.
Yeah. Well, we have 6 minutes left to just, I think, Do you want to do 30 or 45? Can we go 45?
I can go 45.
Or do you really have? Okay, let's go 45. So we have more minutes than that. But
yeah, that'll give me time to drive to my audition and practice my German line.
Okay, so how do you hold a cookie together with no butter or oil? What exactly might be in a cookie like that without giving away the ingredients to keep it together as a cookie?
Well, the most important ingredient that's replacing the oil and the eggs is flax seeds. Flax seeds are really good. You grind them up, you put some water in them, they make a gelatinous, it's kind of like, I don't know, a gelatinous oatmeal kind of look. And that's what I put in the cookies. It holds them together. It keeps them moist. It's that's pretty much it. I mean, it's not a big secret. I think you can go online and say, and put in egg replacement, and almost everything will give you flax seeds. And the thing about grinding them, if you grind them, then it makes the omega-3s inside accessible.
Hmm. Yeah, you almost sound like you're becoming a doctor or nutritionist while you're at it. Have you noticed that?
I'll tell you, if I was 25 and this had happened to me, I totally would be going into medicine right now. I would have just switched and said, "Wow, I have to go into medicine," because I think with an MD at the end of my name, I could make a much larger impact than, you know, actors.
You know, I've been feeling that lately too. When I was a kid, really seriously, when I was 13, I went to college, and it was to be a brain surgeon. I almost skipped a lot of my high school and a lot of college, like 1 year of each, to be a doctor, and I keep thinking what would have happened if I would have actually done that instead of just gotten sidetracked with life, you know, in general. I did a broadcasting career instead, you know, and very interesting, though. I wonder the impact. Do you believe it's too late to go back and do something like that? Like maybe put a nutrition doctor or a master's degree in something behind your name?
Well, I just don't want to. I'm just so excited about the things I'm doing. I don't want to have to put that much time into it. I don't want to, like, I mean, it would be a lot of time for me to become a doctor, you know.
Yeah, and no, I completely understand. I think the same thing with my four boys here. Like, okay, I guess I'm not going to do that in my life next. But I do think often about going back and maybe getting like a nutrition degree or a fitness degree or something like that. Would you ever do something, you know, not doctor level, but more maybe nutrition level?
I don't know. I mean, I'd like to know more about nutrition because I only really know how it applies to me and people in my situation. So I wouldn't mind knowing more. I mean, the truth is I never took any – here's why I can't be a doctor, because I never took any biology classes or physiology, because I'm just grossed out too much. I don't want to have to dissect things and – you know, I don't like to look at blood and stuff, and so I don't think I'd be a good doctor if I kept fainting at the surgery table. So
that's funny. That's exactly why I turned the degree off and did something else. It was too gross for me. But the other thing too, it was also heart wrenching to have to tell people that they were sick or things. I just couldn't do it. I was like, okay, this isn't right for me. But I've been thinking a lot lately about nutrition, and nutrition wouldn't be a doctor degree, but just like a nutrition certificate or something like that, so that I could talk more about maybe like nutrition or fitness and actually be certified in it or something. I've just been noodling around with that myself, because I'm fascinated by nutrition too because of my food allergies. You know, I'm allergic to nuts and I have anaphylaxis to nuts, peanuts, and shellfish and fish. I mean, I have deadly food allergies. And so I do a lot of talking about food allergies and stuff, but I keep thinking that I too might be more, like, you know, quote, credible or whatever if I had like a little thing after my name that said, you know, Elizabeth Hamilton Guarino, nutritionist or something. Maybe I'll investigate for both of us and see how terrible.
Yeah, I mean, if I could find something that was not underwritten by any pharmaceutical company, because when I first, I also have Wilson's disease, it's a genetic liver disorder, and when I had to go to a nutritionist to figure out how do I eat now that I know I can't process copper, I found that they didn't really know a lot about anything. And when I was dealing with cancer, I also found they're telling me all the wrong things. And it's not their fault. They're going to a school that's underwritten by pharmaceutical companies, just like every single doctor we go to. And the pharmaceutical companies are saying, this is what you do in this situation. And so, I mean, it's the all of doctoring and nutrition has become a big business for pharmaceutical companies. And so I would be really leery to take any classes unless I could be sure that these are people actually know what they're talking about. They're not just doing some itinerary that given to them by people who are profiting off our illness.
Yeah, I'll have to ask Sarah. Sarah Sullivan is our nutritionist on Best Ever You. And she's pretty genius, and she does a lot of just a lot of work for us, and she does a lot of healthy smoothies with, you know, they're the greenest, most, they look gross to me, but they actually taste really good. You know, they come out some weird shade of brown or green or whatever, and they're all spinach and cucumbers and all these
and
vegetables.
Kale.
And kale and stuff. And she does an amazing job. Like, you can actually, they're drinkable. You know, you don't go, oh, God, I can't even drink it because of the way it looks. And she's a pretty interesting nutritionist. So maybe I'll ask her and see. But so what else have you, been up to? What else have you got coming up, and what's going on in your life?
What else is going on? Well, just, you know, I spent all my time with Eat Me Cookies and pretty much. And I mean, we're coming out with cupcakes. That's something good. I'm trying to think, what is my life besides Eat Me Cookies? You know, General Hospital's had a big shakeup. They fired the executive producer. They got a new one on. And I'm hoping that the new visionaries see more time for the Quartermains, because I'm the Quartermain maid. And also, you know, Leslie Charlson, who plays Monica, is such an awesome actress. I mean, she really is. I wish they'd give her a hearty storyline. I mean, like, bring back Helena Cassidyne, have the two duke it out. I mean, what a great storyline that would be for everybody, I think. And so, you know, I have my fingers crossed with the new team at General Hospital. And
I love that show.
It's a great show. I really love. I just love the people I work with the most. I mean, everyone who's in the Quartermain family and Tony Geary, just amazing actors and human beings. I mean, you know, I came on the show. I started 11 years ago on that show, and 10 years ago on that show, and I'd never been on a soap. It's a whole different style of acting on a soap, and the way you have to work on a soap opera. And these people were just so inviting and showed me the ropes and never treated me like a punk. Well, okay, a little bit like a punk, but with respect. I really wish I could work with them more. So yeah, that's pretty much it. I'm just, we're looking for a bakery to buy. That's the big thing. That's the huge thing. My whole life will change once we find a bakery. We're going to look at one tomorrow. Because then, you know, I mean, we rent a commercial kitchen, so I'm running back and forth all the time. And once I have a bakery, I can have a regular staff, a manager. I won't have to be there all the time. But right now, I'm doing everything. Between me and Michelle and my assistant Ron, we just do everything. And we need to have a regular staff. So that's my dream for the beginning of 2012, that we move into a bakery so I can work on my book, I can get the script I'm working on done, I can get more acting jobs, go out and speak to more people. I'd really like to travel. The thing is, the book will give me a reason to travel around the country and talk to people, because it's the Midwest I really want to get to. Those are where most of my fans from GH are, and I really want to talk to them.
Yeah,
you know,
that's
a lot of
from,
them are just
originally.
Like me. A lot of these people are just like me.
Definitely. Where are you from originally?
I'm from Northern California.
Oh, you are? Okay, yeah. I lived in Northern California, but yeah, I'm from Iowa, like Minnesota and Iowa. I was born in Minnesota, then raised in Iowa, then moved back to Minnesota, then to Northern California, then to Maine, and I know what you mean about the Midwest needing you there.
Yeah.
They would eat you up. I mean, seriously, that would be like the biggest thing that ever hit the Midwest for you to arrive, especially like if you did like a Mall of America thing in Minnesota or something. We could have some
absolutely.
Fun.
I would love to.
Okay,
do it,
I could be the tour manager.
Yeah, there you go. Well, you know what? When we have the Super Soap Weekend and I get to meet the fans, I mean, I just, you know, most of them are from the Midwest, and I just want to go there. And what I love about it is I've lost, since I've been on the show, I've lost 175 pounds. And, I mean, I am so close to my goal weight right now. I'm just so excited.
Yay.
And I'm like, you know, 5 pounds away. I mean, in 5 pounds from now, I'll be the same weight that I was when I played college basketball. And that's amazing for me at 52 years old. So I'm very excited about that. And I'm not even dieting. It's just it happens naturally. I'm on this diet. You know, my body drops weight and gains weight according to what I'm doing. But I just don't stress about it anymore. I just, since I know I'm giving my body the best food it can get, I'm going to let my body do what it needs to do next. You know, I make sure I exercise and get enough water. That's really important. Because, you know, if we don't get enough water, we overeat. Our brain thinks we're hungry, and really we're only thirsty. So whenever I'm hungry, I get a glass of water first and see, was I hungry or was I thirsty? And a lot of times I was just thirsty. Yeah, that's a little hint there for people.
Yeah, I like that. I can see this book is going to be a good one. So book and tour. Yeah. And all right, so I have to let you go. Are you going to miss your auditions, which we cannot?
Okay. Hey, but if anyone out there knows of a bakery for lease or rent in L.A., let me know.
Oh, yeah, I'll put it out there for you.
Yeah, we're looking.
Everybody, Bergen's looking. Okay, so let me just tell people your websites, your Twitter and your Facebook first before we let you go.
Okay.
Bergen's websites are eatmecookies.com and bergenwilliams.com. And on the Bergen Williams one, you have some fantastic articles that you've written and so forth, and great, you know, great story about all that has happened to you and stuff. So I love the way you write. You are just...
Oh, thank you.
Is that really what you are at heart as a writer?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I was just talking about that with my business partner, that, you know, I'm dying to write. I just want to write. I actually came to Hollywood to be a writer. And it's like, and I've gotten to do a little bit of it. I mean, I've ghostwritten for a couple films and stuff like that. But it's not, I would love to be known as a writer also. So
yeah.
I'm working on it.
Yeah, because, just the way you write, it's different than anybody's, well, it should be because it's you, but it's just powerful. I don't know. It's hard to explain the way you write, but I love the way you write, especially now that I know that you were the Power Rangers lead writer, too.
Oh.
It cracks me up. I have four boys, you know. I remember one how I'm rambling on 2 seconds. We had to go out and, like, I'd have, like, nearly, you know, kill someone for the green Power Rangers costume 1 year for my, like, 8-year-old. I'm not kidding.
Yeah.
I mean, just... We have big Power Rangers here in this house. Not anymore because they're older, but it's very funny. All right. So eatmecookies.com, bergenwilliams.com, and then you're on Twitter. It's BergenW, and you are on Facebook as well. So
yes.
Everybody
follow. I'm also on Twitter at eatmecookies. It's eatme underline cookies. Yes, I have two Twitters, one for my General Hospital fans and one for my cookie fans, I guess.
Okay. Cookies. So, all right,
yeah.
Well, good. What do we say to actors when they're going to audition?
Break a leg.
Break a leg, yeah. Well,
yeah.
I don't want you to do that, though, but I do. I don't know. That's kind of strange. So break a leg, right?
Uh-huh.
All right.
There you go.
All right. Do great.
Okay.
Have great accents. And it's funny to me that you're doing things in German and Russian today. And
German Russian on one day.
I know.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much. It was great talking with you. And thanks for listening, everybody.
Yeah, and thanks. And we hope you come on again. And all right, Bergen, I'm going to just close the show and just let you go. And great. Break a leg and do wonderful today. Everybody, thank you. Thank you. Have a great day. So thanks to Bergen Williams for joining us today. And we're going to go ahead and wish her much success today in all the things that she's doing. And I do want to mention, for those of you listening, that you can go to the Motivation Marathon. We are having a Motivation Marathon January 14th through the 22nd. And if you want to register, you can go to motivationmarathon.com. And register, and Bergen is going to be one of the speakers at that event. So we're really, really, really excited about this event coming up. So it's motivationmarathon.com. And as usual, you can visit us at besteveryou.com. We're on Twitter at besteveryou. We're on Facebook at besteveryou. And we just really appreciate you listening to the show. And thanks so much to Bergen Williams for joining us today. Thanks. Have a great day.